Hey of Hilchos Tshuva. Parakeh deals with the issue of free will. And specifically we saw the Rambam note that everybody has the freedom to direct themselves in the path that they so choose, to be righteous or to be wicked. And the Rambam understood that there are two components to free will, to meaningful free will. Number one is the ability to know what's right and what's wrong. And number two is the ability to choose. And this was alluded to in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Hein ha'adam hayak echad mimenu. Behold, man is like one of us, meaning to say that humans are unique in their having free will. No other creation has free will. Neither animals nor angels. None have free will. So man is unique, humans are unique. Lada'as tovara, to know good and evil, meaning to say the ability to know what's wrong and what's right. We know what's wrong and what's right because as human beings with the Tzelem Elokim, God gave us the ability to determine right from wrong using our seichel, using our intuition, and certainly with the Torah, where the Torah directs us and guides us in terms of knowing what's right and what's wrong. And therefore, the pasuk continues, Pen yishlach yado, there's a concern that he will do wrong. In other words, we have these two components of freedom, our ability to know what's right and what's wrong, and then also to choose between right and wrong. That's the way the Rambam at least interprets the pasuk here. Mar Nevuchim, he has a little different interpretation. And the Rambam continues. Now we're up to Halacha Bet. Al yavor b'machshav techa, davar zeh she'omrim tipshei umot ha'olam, v'rov galmei v'nei Yisrael, she'akadosh baruch hu gozer al ha'adam mitchilat b'riyato, liyot tzadik o rasha. Do not think, like so many people think, Jews and non-Jews, that God decrees upon a person from birth, or from conception, whether a person will be righteous or wicked. Now, the Rambam, in the next two chapters, is going to address a number of objections to free will. A number of reasons why people claim that we don't have free will. The truth of the matter is, from the beginning of time, people have denied freedom in some way or another. The Medrash says that after Cain killed Hevel, he tried to deny his responsibility, among other things, by saying, God, it's your fault. You allowed me to do this. You gave me the desire to do this. He was essentially denying his freedom. The historian Josephus writes that the primary distinguishing factor between the Prushim, the legitimate Jews, and the other sects in the Second Temple period related to the question of freedom. Only the Prushim believed both in free will and in Hashgacha. How those interact, we'll discuss. So there are a number of objections. In modern times, we've talked about this before in the show, but it is becoming more and more popular to deny freedom based off of psychology, based off of neuroscience, people that claim that the human brain is all that there is, and the decisions that are made are not at all free. So even though we think we're free, that is an illusion. And that type of argument has been around for a long time. So we're going to see how Rambam deals with these objections. And the first objection that the Rambam notes is that people think that fate determines their course. A person is, from the point of conception, predetermined to do one thing or another. The Rambam, of course, says this is wrong. The Gemara says that at the moment of conception, God takes the tipa, the embryo or the pre-embryo, and says that this person might be strong or weak, rich or poor, but tzaddik o rasha, he will never declare. Tzaddik o rasha, meaning to say, there's so much about us that is really not up to us. Are we going to be tall? Are we going to be short? Person healthy or sick? Some aspects of health and sickness are certainly in a person's freedom. A person can take care of themselves and they could eat healthy food and exercise and the like. But there's no doubt that there are aspects of health that are not in a person's control. And so too with many, many things about us. We don't really control all sorts of aspects of our life. Again, a person might choose to work hard, but a person can work very hard at business or the like, and despite his best efforts, he might succeed, he might not succeed. A person, their intelligence, so to some degree, that's not in their control, to some degree it is. We can use the intelligence that we've been born with and study hard and become smart and live smartly, or we cannot take advantage of it, but to a certain degree, these things are predetermined. So that's what the Gemara says. There's many things about us that aren't really in our control, but tzaddik o rasha, whether we're going to make good decisions or bad decisions, whether we're going to choose right from wrong, that's entirely in a person's hands. And that's what's meant when we say, hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyir shamayim. What does that mean? Hakol bidei shamayim, everything is in God's hands except for yir shamayim. What does yir shamayim mean? To do right or to do wrong. Now, the Rambam in the Tshuva says that right from wrong, yir shamayim, and this is means yir shamayim very broadly defined, because like we said, really many of our decisions are very much in our hands, even though we wouldn't necessarily think of them as yir shamayim in the narrow sense. What we eat and how hard we work and all these things, to a large degree, are in our control, but many things aren't. And so what isn't? What always is in our control is yir shamayim, choice to do right or wrong. And that's what the Rambam starts off with. Don't say that God decrees from a person's conception whether they're going to be a tzaddik or rasha. En adam kein, ela kol adam ra'ui lios lo tzaddik k'moshe rabbeinu o rasha k'yirava. A person could be as great as Moshe or as wicked as Yirava. Now, it's interesting that he chooses as great as Moshe, because we know Lo kam b'Yisrael k'moshe, there'll never be a Navi as great as Moshe. So what is meant by the Rambam when he says we could all be as great as Moshe? What do you think? How could we be as great as Moshe? We read the Yud Gimel Ikari Amuna just a couple of weeks ago, and we saw the Rambam say nobody's going to be as great of a Navi as Moshe. What do you think? Okay, so we should have shifos to try to be as great as Moshe, but can we succeed? The Rambam says we can. We could all be as great as Moshe. Oh, exactly. Meaning to say that it's true, we will not be as great a prophet as Moshe. Absolutely. Hashem, for some reason, wanted Moshe to be the ultimate prophet because he was the Nosein HaTorah. It was important that he be a greater prophet than anyone else, and there'll never be a prophet as great as Moshe. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about, when it comes to freedom, whether we will be as big of a Navi as Moshe. That might not be in our control, but we could be a tzaddik like Moshe. That's what the Rambam writes. Every one of us could be a tzaddik like Moshe. What do we mean by tzaddik like Moshe? So what I believe this means is that we could fulfill our potential like Moshe Rabbeinu did. Now, as we noted, there are many parts of us that might allow a person to that might be beyond a person's control. Let's actually read one more line, and we'll expand on this. So you could be as great as Moshe or as wicked as Yeravam. Why do you think Yeravam is picked? Yeravam ben Nevat.
Because Yeravam, he was a tzaddik, because he started out as tzaddik.
Okay. So that exemplifies the degree of freedom a person has, that he can change trajectory. One might add that his decision had such a huge impact, not just on his own life, but on all of Jewish history. His decision to split, to secede from Rehavam, and split the Jewish people into two. You see the degree of autonomy and freedom a person has. You could add that God himself almost encouraged Yeravam to be good. He said that you and David and me can be Metayel B'Gan Eden. And Yeravam still rejected it. So there's so much about Yeravam that shows the extent to which a person really has freedom. O Chacham O Sachal. A person could be wise or foolish. We'll return to that question in a minute. O Rachman O Achzari, or merciful or cruel. O Kili O Shoa. A person can be, Kili is like a miser, or the reverse, a generous person. V'chein shar kol adeos. And likewise with respect to all midos. All midos. So a couple of interesting things. Notice, first of all, how he says we have freedom with respect to midos. Sometimes we think of our freedom in terms of actions, but not in terms of character traits. The Rambam says, no, even with respect to character traits, we have freedom. Of course, it's much harder to... It's hard enough to control our actions. Certainly to control our character traits, which changing a character trait is exceedingly difficult. If a person has a tendency towards anger, for example, whether it's due to their nature or their nurture, whether it's genetic or having grown up in a home where there's lots of anger, it's extraordinarily difficult to change. And the Rambam doesn't deny the predilection, the natural predilection that we have, that each of us have towards certain tendencies. The Rambam explains in Shmona Prakam that each of us are born with certain predilections. The Rambam writes, that naturally people tend towards the extremes in all the midos, generally speaking, to one extreme or the other. It's very rare that a person will naturally be in the middle path. We all have to seek that derech hamimutza. We all have to try to find the middle path of each midah. But it's rare that we're naturally like that. Naturally, we tend to be tend towards one extreme or the other. We have to fight. We have to work towards that middle path, but we do have freedom. So the Rambam here stresses our freedom is not just with respect to maisa, which is more obvious, more intuitive. I think when people tend to deny their own freedom, which I think most of us do to some degree, it's usually with respect to character traits. It's not with respect to actions. We feel free with respect to our actions. We sometimes feel like this is the way I am, and I can't change when it comes to character traits. But even with respect to character traits, the Rambam stresses that we have freedom. Now, the Rambam here gave a very interesting example. So most of these examples we understand, right? Like kindness or cruelty, a person has that choice. But what's interesting is he says, O chacham o sachal, wise or foolish. Why is that interesting? Because one could raise two objections. Number one is, intuitively, it doesn't seem to be correct. There are some people that are naturally more intelligent than others in all sorts of fields and disciplines. Surely there are different types of intelligence. And just because you're intelligent in one way doesn't mean you're intelligent in another way. We all encounter such people. But let's take mathematics. So perhaps everybody can get a little better in mathematics if they work hard. But some people, if they work hard, they'll be able to be... Mathematicians and the like, and other people, I would imagine, that no matter how hard they work, you know, they might be able to get to algebra, but not past that. So is it really true that we're free with respect to our intelligence? That's one objection. It just doesn't seem to be right. And moreover, the Gemara itself seems to contradict what the Rambam here writes. The Gemara says, as we quoted before, that the tipa, at the moment of conception, is brought before God, and God says about it, is it going to be strong or weak, wise or foolish? I think it says there, chacham o tipesh. So that implies that we don't have freedom with respect to intelligence, and the Rambam says we do. And To add to that, the Rambam himself in Mor Nevuchim writes explicitly that there are certain aspects, types of wisdom, especially more sophisticated, nuanced forms of chachma, that a person might never be able to access, no matter how hard they try. So how could the Rambam write here that we are free in that respect? So I think the answer is that the Rambam here is not talking about raw intelligence. Perhaps people are born with a certain amount of raw intelligence. The Rambam here is talking about how we use that intelligence to live. Do we make good decisions? Do we live a life where we use the intelligence that we've been given to live smartly? Or do we act without thought? Are we impulsive? Do we not take advantage of the intelligence that God gave us? So it's true, in terms of raw IQ, obviously freedom plays a role, but it might also be the case that genes play a role. But when it comes to utilizing that potential that God has given us, so that, in that sense, we're totally free. And that brings us back to the point that the Rambam said before, that Rambam said everybody could be as great as Moshe. So he said, we know that the Rambam says we could be a tzaddik like Moshe. I don't know if that means everyone could be as big of a Talmud Chacham as Moshe or the like. But what it does mean is that we can use our potential. And we're all given incredible potential. Every human being. We're all a Tzelem Elokim. And we all are given incredible gifts and opportunities. And the question is, do we utilize those gifts to become like Moshe, in so far as he was someone who also utilized all of his gifts, all of his kolchos? Or do we fail to take advantage of those gifts that we've been given? And that's where our freedom lies. So to continue in the Rambam, just one interesting point. So the Rambam writes here about our incredible freedom, even with respect to character traits. There have been studies that show that one of the strongest determinations of people's ability to change lies in the extent to which they think they're free. A person who thinks they're born with the chocolate gene and this is something that they just can't control will most likely not succeed in controlling it, as opposed to a person who is convinced that they can control it. They've done studies in terms of how likely one is to succeed in carrying out their New Year's resolutions. And the most important factor is the extent to which a person really thinks that they're free. They also did a fascinating study. There are a number of studies that I think are really fascinating that relate to this. But here's one of them. I mentioned this once in a drasha. They did the following study. They took 1,000 college students, and 500 of them, they told them the following statement from Francis Crick, the great geneticist. A statement along the lines of, the great geneticist Francis Crick doesn't think that a person really has free will. And then they told another 500 students another statement from the great geneticist Francis Crick that has nothing to do with freedom, I don't know, something about DNA or something like that. And then they told them to take a basic math test, and they were going to get a prize depending on their score, and to self-grade it. So they found that the group that was told that they don't have freedom cheated at a much higher rate than the group that was not told they don't have freedom. In other words, just thinking that you're not free makes you more likely to act in an immoral way, because you don't feel like you're free. So why should I not cheat? It's incredible. Revolbi writes in Ali Shor how the most basic and fundamental first step to tshuva, which involves change, is the belief in our own freedom. And as we said before, it's so easy to deny it. Even if you don't go to the extreme and deny it entirely, but to deny the scope of our freedom. Rav Huttner has a letter in which he writes, the biggest kfira bizman hazeh. Think about it, what's the biggest kfira? The biggest heresy? So I don't know, I would think, like Apikorsus. So the biggest kfira is kfira and bechira. That's what we struggle with. And he has an interest theory about it. He thinks that as we get closer to Yemos HaMashiach, and Yemos HaMashiach, we won't have that same type of Bechira. So as we get close to losing Bechira, whether what the nature of Bechira of Yemos HaMashiach we'll talk about later on in Hilchos Tshuva, but according to the Ramban, at the very least, it's going to change. So as we get closer to that Tkufa when we don't have Bechira, it's more easy to deny Bechira. One way or the other. That's what the Rambam is writing here. And the Rambam, as we'll see in a moment, tells us at the beginning of Halacha Gimel, this is Iker Gadol Hu, V'hu Amud HaTorah V'HaMitzvah. The notion of freedom is an absolutely foundational principle upon which all of Torah and Mitzvot lies. Why? Because there's no point in Torah and Mitzvot if you can't choose what you're going to do. Okay. So the Rambam continues. V'ein lo mishe yichfehu. There's no one that could compel him. V'lo gozer alav, nor decree about him. V'lo mishe moshchol echad mishnei drachim. Nor is there anyone that pulls him in any direction, towards the good or towards the bad. Elahu me'atzmo umida'ato, nota le'ezo darach sheyirtze. He alone pushes himself to whatever derech, whatever path he chooses. Husher Yahu Amar, Mipi Elyon, Lo Seitze Haraos Vatov. This is what Yirmiyahu said in the book of Echa, from upon high, Mipi Elyon, from God, Lo Teitze Haraos Vatov. Bad and good does not emanate, because it's not God who decides whether we will be or do good or bad, but us. Lomar, Ein Aborei, Gozer al Hadam, Lolios Tov, Vilolios Ra. God does not decree about a person to do good or bad. The Kevan Shekain, who, since this is so, and now he continues with the Pasuk, Nim Tzazachote, who hifsid et atzma. If a person does sin, so you're at fault. You've brought about your own self destruction. Ulefikach, Ra'ui Lefkos, Ulekonain, Al Hata'av. Therefore, it's befitting that a person should cry and mourn his sins. V'almasha salinafsho, ugmala ra'a. What you did to yourself, you destroyed yourself. A person must feel bad for their sins because they are the cause of their sins. Hushikasu v'acharav. Thus, the pasuk continues, Mayis onen adam chai. Gever al chatav. What this means is that since a person is responsible, a person shouldn't blame God. Rather, he has to accept responsibility. V'chazar v'amar, ha'il rushutenu b'yadenu, since we have that freedom, umida'atenu asinu kol ha'ra'os, and we've on our own acted and done all these evils, ra'ui lanu lachzor b'tshuva v'lazov rishenu. We must repent and abandon our wickedness. Sharishus ata b'yadenu, because now the freedom is still in our hands. Tshuva is necessary because we freely sinned, and tshuva is possible because we have the freedom to change. Hu shekasuv acharav, thus the pasuk continues, nach besader achenu v'nach korev v'nashuva ad Hashem. Let us examine our ways and return to God. The Rambam stresses here, and he's going to stress it later, that freedom is a remarkable thing insofar as even God relinquishes that control. It's not just that another person cannot compel me, but God himself though of course he's all-powerful and could, should he wish, intervene and control the decisions that I've made, that I make, but he doesn't. He gives me that power. In a certain sense, the course of history is left up to man using his freedom to determine. Now, does that mean that God plays no role in history? It doesn't. We'll talk about that more in Parak Vav, when the Rambam addresses that point. But fundamentally, a person has that freedom. V'davar ze ikar gadol v'hu amura Torah v'mitzvah. This idea is a ikar gadol, a fundamental principle, and the basis, the pillar of Torah and mitzvahs. It's interesting. Rambam tells us it's an ikar gadol. So why do you think he doesn't include it in the Yud Gimel Ikarim? So, there are a number of answers, but the simplest is that it is included in the Ikar of Schar V'Onesh, because, as we'll see in a moment, Schar V'Onesh only makes sense, it's only just and fair, if a person has freedom. If a person doesn't have a choice but to sin, so of course it would be totally unfair to punish them for their sin. The notion of Schar V'Onesh, that we're rewarded for our good choices and punished for our evil choices, takes for granted that we have freedom. Shenamar, Rei Nasati Lefanecha Hayom Esachayim Vesatov Vesamaves Vesara. Here's another pasuk that highlights our freedom. God says, behold, placed before you life and good and evil and bad. And God, of course, tells us to choose life, but he's given us the choice. Choosing life is choosing good. Choosing evil is choosing death. Because we're talking here about real life, eternal life. Behold, I'm placing before you today a blessing and a curse. You have the choice. And what every person chooses to do, he could do. Bein tovim, bein ra'im. Whether good or bad, mipnei ze inyan ne'amar. Mi yitein ba'yal vavam ze lahem. Kolomar, she'ina borei kofe v'nei adam. God does not compel a person to do anything. V'lo gozer alehem la'sos tova ra'ah. And doesn't decree for them to do bad or good. So God urges us, encourages us to do good. He tells us, uvacharta v'chayim. But he doesn't make that choice. He leaves us that authority, that power. He removes himself from that sphere. He limits himself in that way. Ilu hakel, hayagozer l'adam, li'os tzadiko rasha. Were it the case that God decreed that a person could be righteous, that a person be righteous or wicked, or if it were the case that naturally a person was compelled to follow a certain path, whether it's with respect to actions or beliefs or midos, like astronomers, astrologers, I suppose, assume. Astrologers think that a person's fate is determined by the stars. So if that were the case, how could God command us through the prophets, do this or don't do that? Improve your ways. And don't follow your wickedness. Doesn't make any sense, since, after all, since the moment of creation, it was already determined, predetermined, what he was going to do. O toldato, timshoch, oso ledavar, shi afshar lazuz mimenu. Umama komayel chola Torah kula. What place would there be for the entire Torah? Ve'eza din, ve'eza mishpat nifra min arasha. How could God justly punish the wicked? Omshem sachar letzadik, or reward a tzadik. Hachofet kol arz lo yasa mishpat. Is God unjust? Of course God is just. Which means that God will only punish a person if it was their choice. Now, this is important to remember, because as we noted before, It might be the case that there are certain choices that are not truly within a person's freedom. This idea was developed by Rev Dessler. He famously called it the Nikudas HaBechira, the point of Bechira. And I believe it's very much consistent with what the Rambam said, as we noted before. And the idea is that there are many choices that we don't actively consider. I don't really think about murdering anybody. It's not something I struggle with. Plenty of things I struggle with. But murder isn't one of them. There are people that do struggle with murder. Some may choose to murder, some might choose not to. But that's not something that I struggle with. Well, it doesn't really make sense that I would be rewarded for that choice, because it's more or less come naturally to me. There are certain good things that I might not even consider doing. The area that a person actively struggles with, that is where their bechira lies. And it's in those areas that one could go either way. And they struggle. Which way should I go? Sometimes they may make the right choice, sometimes they might make the wrong choice. But other things, both good or bad, to the right or to the left, you might not really actively ever consider. Now, that doesn't mean that it's static. He compares this to the line of battle, the battle lines. So think of trench warfare in World War I. So the battle lines are always changing. You have a number of victories, you might move this way. A number of defeats, you might move that way. Likewise, depending on the choices that I make, so I may or may not struggle with certain things. So to give an example, if I struggle with getting up on time for Shacharis, so I don't know, set my alarm for 6:30, go to 6:45 Shacharis. Sometimes I hit snooze, and sometimes I don't. So when I hit snooze, I come 5 minutes late to shul. If I don't hit snooze, I come on time. Let's say I overcome my temptation to sleep, and I consistently don't hit snooze and I come on time. That might even become second nature. I won't have to struggle with it anymore. If you think about it in your own lives, there are things that you probably naturally do, wonderful, good things, that you don't even think about any longer. It's not much of a struggle. But at earlier points in your life, these might have been things that were very difficult. And that's because you made good choices. So what was once a struggle is now second nature. And instead you struggle with new things. Person might go in the other direction, might hit snooze for 2 weeks in a row, and hitting snooze is going to be natural to me. Not even going to think about coming on time. The question is, do I hit snooze once or twice? So a person's always moving. Their nekudas habechira is not static. And ultimately a person's judged not where they finish, but how far they've come. One person, I don't know if anyone here knows about football, but take a football metaphor. You might start on the 20-yard line and only get to the 40-yard line, but you've gone a lot further than someone who started on the 80-yard line and got to the 90-yard line. You've moved 20 yards over the course of your life. You only moved 10. So even though the other guy on the 90-yard line is, in a sense, much more advanced, somebody might be born into a family where certain types of things are taken for granted and it's easy for them to do it. That's not what matters. What matters is how far we've come given the circumstances that we've been born into and the gifts we've been given and the opportunities we've been given, how far we go and to what degree we take advantage of those. And a lot of times people have yayush, they feel bad because they see other people that are way ahead of them. And it might be that they're really much greater. And it might also be that they were born in a place where this sort of came natural to them. They didn't have to struggle for it. They didn't have the types of struggles you have. So what's easy for them might be difficult for you. And we never really know what another person goes through. But it's obvious, he says, that, I don't know, a person born into a non-observant home. So Shabbos observance might not be easy, might not even be possible for them until a certain stage in their life where they have a certain degree of independence. That's going to be very different than someone who's born into a Shomer Shabbos home where, for the most part, that's always taken for granted, right? With respect to so many things, that's true. And again, what's important to remember is, like the Rambam here says, HaShofet kol ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat. So the Pasuk says, God is just. And God and only God really knows what we struggle with. And he knows what's hard for us. And he knows what's easy for us. And he knows whether we work or whether it came naturally without a struggle. And while we as humans tend to think of things in objective terms, God, who's all-knowing, doesn't. And I think it's important for us to remember that, because it could give a person a lot of chizuk. It could also cause them to have a lot of bad feelings. They think of, wow, look at all that I've been given and what all I've done. But you have to be honest with yourself about this. And I think all this is it's really behind what the Rambam is saying. So the Rambam continues. Ve'al titama v'toma heyach yah adam osea ma sheyachpot v'yu ma'asav misurim lo v'chi ye'aseh ba'olam davar shelo v'yashus kono uv'lo chafzo v'akasav omer kol asher chafetz Hashem b'shamayim v'aretz. How could you say that we have freedom? We could do whatever we want. Isn't it the case that everything that happens in the world happens because God wishes it to happen? As the Pasuk says, whatever God wishes, he does in heaven and in earth. Da, shako kechavtso yase. No, that it is in fact the case that whatever happens, whatever God wants to happen, will happen. V'afal pishim asenu misurim lanu. Even though at the same time we have freedom. Keitzad, how is this possible? K'shem sheyoter chafetz liyos sha'esh v'aruach olim l'mala. Just as God wishes for fire and wind or air to go up, meaning to say the nature of fire is to rise. You light a flame, it sort of goes up. V'amayim v'aretz yordim l'mata. Likewise, the heavy elements go down to the ground. V'agalgal sovev b'igul. And the spheres turn in a circle. In other words, the laws of nature, v'chol sha'briyos olam, liyos k'minagam shechafetz bam. God created the laws of nature. And generally speaking, absent divine intervention and miraculous intervention, the world follows the laws of nature. Kacha chafetz liyos adam v'shuso b'yado. So too God wants us to have freedom. In other words, that is our nature. God makes gravity, and God gives us freedom. And therefore, God wants us to freely choose. So, in a sense, everything that happens, even if we choose poorly, we decide to sin, is God's will, because God wished for us to have that freedom. V'chol ma'asav misurim lo. V'lo yihye lo, lo chofe v'lo moshech, elohu me'atzmo midato sh'nasan lo akel, oseh kol she'adam yachol asos. So man has that ability, nobody pushes him or compels him or her to do anything. We all have that ability to choose. Lefikach danino tov kfi ma'asav. Therefore, a person is judged according to their actions. We're held responsible because we have that freedom. Ma'asa tova metivim lo. If you make good choices, if you do good, so then you'll be rewarded. Ma'asa ra'a mereyim lo. And the reverse is also true. Hushanavi omerim yadchem ha'isa zos. That's why the pasuk says malachi. This came because of you. It's your fault. Whenever we're punished, we're eating the fruit that we have sown. Gam hema bacharu b'darchichem. Many psukim along these lines. Uvi'inyan zeh amar Shlomo, simach bachor b'yaldusecha, enjoy youth, v'da, ki al kol eila yivyacha Hashem b'mishpat. But know that you'll be judged for all the choices you make. Enjoy yourself now if you wish, but know you'll pay the price. Kolomar da sheyesh biyadcha koch lasos. Know you have the power to choose. The asir atalitain esadim. But you're going to ultimately have to stand in judgment. Shema tomar v'halo hakadosh baruch hu yodea ma sheyiyah. Kodem sheyiyah. So now the Rambam raises one of the most basic philosophical questions that I imagine we've all thought about at one time or another. And that is the seeming contradiction between divine foreknowledge and free will. If God knows what we're going to do before we do it, how is it possible that at the same time we have the freedom or the choice? For example, Rambam writes, Yada shezeh yeh tzadik o rasha. God surely knows whether I will be a tzaddik or a rasha, o lo yada, or doesn't he know? Im yada shu yeh tzaddik, if God knows that Leah will be a tzaddikas, yesh shelo yeh tzaddik, it's impossible she won't be. Im tomar shi yada shi yeh tzaddik, v'afshar shi yeh rasha, and if you say that he knows that she will be a tzaddikas, so then how could she not be a tzaddikas? So we're stuck. As we say in Yeshiva Shmimanafshach, if he knows, we don't have a choice. And if he doesn't know, so that means God doesn't know. Rambam takes for granted that God does know the future. There is divine foreknowledge. It's an interesting question why that's so obvious. And there might actually be some Jewish thinkers who did not subscribe to that. Perhaps God doesn't know what we will freely choose before we choose it, because by definition, if it's in our hands to choose, then he can't know in advance. If you think there's logical incompatibility between foreknowledge and free will, then it's not problematic to say God doesn't have foreknowledge. Maybe we'll think about that approach another time. But the Rambam takes for granted that God does in fact know the future. And among other things, because if he didn't, that would mean he changed. Because as he discovers the future, he's learning new information. The Pasuk says, Ani Hashem lo shinisi. I don't change. God is unchanging. He's eternal. And therefore, he can't learn new information. And he must know what we're going to do even before we do it. But then, of course, the question is, if he knows what we're going to do before we do it, how can it be that we still have that freedom? This is the question. Da, shetshuva she'ela zo, aruka me'eretz mida urechava miniyam. Know that the answer to this question is very hard, very complex. V'chama yikarim gedolim v'harim ramim tuluyim ba. And there are many fundamental principles that are dependent upon it. Aval tzaricha da leida ulavin b'davar she'ani omer. You have to understand what I'm about to tell you. Kfar be'arnu b'perak she'ni mehilchos yisodei haTorah. We already explained in the second chapter of Hilchos Yisodei haTorah. Maybe we'll look that up in a moment. Shakadosh Baruch Hu eino yodea midea shehu chutz mimenu. God does not know things from that which is external to him. Kivnei adam shehem v'da'atam shnaim. Like human beings who are separate from their knowledge. What this means is as follows. There's me, and there's what I know. There are things, for example, that I didn't know yesterday and I know today. There are things that I know today, but I'm going to forget by tomorrow. I am not my knowledge. And thus, because it's not an essential part of my being, it could always be changing. I learn things, I forget things, I discover things. I learn from that which is outside of me. I read a book, or I observe, or the like. That is not true with respect to God's knowledge. Because if it were true, then that would contradict divine unity, God's oneness, because there would be Him and His knowledge. Rather, God and His knowledge are one. It is not a quality that's external to Him, but it is Him. And moreover, God just doesn't discover things from that which is outside of Him, but rather all knowledge is within Him. It's not chutz mimenu. Again, it's internal. So what the Rambam is going to say in a moment, we'll just say it outside, and maybe we'll read it also in Hilchos Yisod Yeshuvah. But with respect to human knowledge, which is external to us, then in fact it might be the case that there's a contradiction between foreknowledge and freedom. But not with respect to God's knowledge. With respect to divine knowledge, which is within and not external, so there is no contradiction. You're going to ask a question.
I don't know. I guess I'm still just wrapping my head around like why Hashem is not changing. That would make it. That would like defy unification. Like,
because He would be changing, unless you say you're Mamanashach. If the knowledge is essential, so that means His essence would be changing. Ani Hashem lo shinisi. And if it's external to Him, then there's no unity because there's Him and His knowledge. When we talk about God being one, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, we mean one not just in the sense of one and not two gods or three gods, but one in the sense of simple, not being comprised of parts. I am one, but I am comprised of parts. There's my body and my soul. There is my body is comprised of cells, and cells are devised, comprised of molecules and molecules of atoms and atoms, right? And so on and so forth. Divine oneness means simple, meaning to say not comprised of parts. And therefore, if it's external, it would contradict divine unity. And if it's internal and essential, but changing, that would also defy, defy unity, because it would imply change. Now, as the Rambam writes, this is very hard to wrap your head around, like you put it. It's not easy to understand at all. And that's what he's about to get to. He writes, Ve'en da'ato shel adam yechola lasig davar ze'al bur. A person, a human being, can't fully wrap their head around this. Doesn't mean you can't understand it at all. We'll talk about the Rabbi's objection to this next time. Doesn't mean you can't understand it at all, but it does mean you can't fully understand it. Because just like we can't understand God's essence, we can't understand the nature of His knowledge. We're limited, we're finite, we can't understand Him, He's infinite. But I don't think the Rambam is saying we can't understand this at all. He's saying that we can't fully appreciate this. But this basic distinction we can understand. And this is exactly the point that the Rambam makes. U'kashem she'en koch ba'adam lasig v'limtso amitas ha'borei. Just like a person can't fully understand the truth of God's existence, we can't understand God's essence. Shenemar, ki lo yir'ani ha'adam v'chai. A person cannot see me and live. What does that mean? It means, obviously, we can't see Him in the physical sense because He has no physical body. But it means we can't comprehend Him even intellectually. He is infinite, we're finite. So just like we can't fully understand God's essence, kach ein koch badam lasig v'limtzo dato shel boy. So too can't we can't understand his knowledge or the way he thinks. Very much relates to our parsha. In our parsha, Moshe asks what he should call God to the Jews. When they ask for your name, what shall I say to them? And Moshe responds, Ek asher eke, I will be, yeah. Asher, yeah. I'll be what I will be. What that means, Chazal tell us, is that we can't relate to God's essence. We could only relate to him insofar as he relates to us, insofar as he manifests himself in the world. To the extent that he manifests himself, that we can apprehend, that we could understand, but his essence is beyond us. And thus the Rambam is saying we can't understand his essence, we can't understand the way he thinks. And with respect to the way God thinks, there is no contradiction to foreknowledge, only with respect to human knowledge. Husha Navi Omer, Ki lo machshavosai machshavoseichem, velo derachechem derachai. The way I think is not the way you think. The way I act is not the way you act. Tekevin shekein, ein banu koch leida he'ach yeda kodesh baruch hu kol haburim v'amasim. We don't have the ability to know how God knows all these things. Aval neida b'lo safek, but we can know with certainty. Shemaseh adam b'yad ha'adam, that a person's actions and thoughts are free in our control. Ve'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu moshcho v'lo gozer alav lasos kach. And God does not push us to do one thing or the other. V'lo mipnei kabbalas hadas b'lvad. And we know this not just because of tradition, not just because it's in the Torah, not just because God has told us it is so. Ela b'rayos b'ros medivrei chachma. We could prove that we are free not just from the Torah, but also from chachma. It could be demonstrated. Thus, it says, "Shedanin es adam al maasav kafi maasav." A person is judged according to his actions that are freely chosen in ra v'im tov. V'zehu ha'ikar shekol divrei nevuah tluyim bo. This is the principle that all of nevuah is built upon. Now, this question of divine foreknowledge and free will is, in fact, a very challenging question, and besides the Rambam's answers, there are other answers. The simplest answer is really first given by Rasad Yagon, and the Rivash develops it, which is that there is no contradiction between free will and divine foreknowledge, because God knows in advance what we will freely choose to do. And in fact, if anyone studied logic, anyone take logic in college? No? It's a logical fallacy to think that there's a contradiction between foreknowledge and free will. I took logic in college. So the person who first showed me with this is a professor in Yeshiva College, Dr. David Johnson. So he shows how really the assumption that there is a contradiction between foreknowledge and free will is the error of the slip modal operator. It's assuming that something is true is necessarily true. But I guess we'll leave that out for now. But there's an even simpler answer. And I think none of these contradict each other, which is that the whole question really is absurd when it comes to God. Because the question is, how could God know what I'm going to do in advance? That assumes that God exists within time. How do you know what I'm going to do tomorrow, today? If you know what I'm going to do tomorrow, today, so then how could I do otherwise? But those terms aren't relevant for God. God created time, but time is a creation. It's not an objective reality. God doesn't exist within time. We exist within time because God created time and placed us within time. But the whole idea of before and after, a foreknowledge, knowing in advance, that those terms are totally inappropriate with respect to God. Because God doesn't exist within time. There's no such thing as before or after tomorrow or today or yesterday. All those are terms that are only relevant for us who exist within time. One way or the other, the Rambam as well as almost all Jewish thinkers, accept this idea that there's both foreknowledge and free will. And though it might be very difficult to figure out how the two can coexist, they in fact do coexist. God somehow knows the future and at the same time allows us the freedom of choice. So we'll pick up with this, God willing, next time when we continue with Perek Vav. He's going to continue dealing with challenges to freedom. Unfortunately, I will not be here next Monday, so we're going to pick up Ezras Hashem in 2 weeks. Okay?